Welcome to Present Company, the Netflix podcast that brings you dynamic conversations with exceptional people behind your favorite series, films, documentaries, and specials. I'm your host, Krista Smith. For years, I was Vanity Fair's ambassador to Hollywood, interviewing countless actors as well as creatives and authorities across the spectrum. My passion is talent, any form of it. How do you know you have it? How do you cultivate it? How do you protect it? And also, I want to get to the heart of what drives it. On this podcast, I'll be talking to people in Hollywood and far beyond. Thank you for joining me. Scarlett Johansson is in the chair today. I have followed her career since the beginning, when barely a teenager, she broke out in Robert Redford's The Horse Whisperer, and then the indie cult classic Ghost World, which is one of my favorite films. But it was Scarlett's career-making performance in Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation that made the whole world pay attention. And as they say, the rest is history. We've watched her evolve from a young indie actress to one of Hollywood's most successful superstars. She's fearless in her acting, deliberate in her choices, and always speaks her mind. And she does this while balancing it all as a working mom. This is Scarlett Johansson.
You're 35 now, right?
Yes.
I'm so impressed by your choices. You just keep pushing yourself as an actress. You could be resting on your laurels. You've had insane success. What drives you to keep challenging yourself?
I love my job. I really love it now more than I've ever loved it before. I think I have even a deeper understanding of it now than I did 5 years ago. You know, I love working. I always loved my job ever since I was a little girl. I loved acting, and I'm just excited to continue to get better and to continue to understand it more on a deeper level. And I just love working with other actors, and I love working with directors and cinematographers, and I love that whole creative process of making movies and doing theater. I just love it. It's my passion, you know. And I think if ever it stopped feeling like that, I would do something else, you know. But it hasn't stopped feeling like that, so I guess we'll keep going.
Well, one of the things that, to me, that always distinguishes the greats, let's say, is their confidence. And it's going to sound a little cliche, but like the fearlessness to go towards something and their confidence of how they approach stuff. And to me, you've always had the confidence of a small country. You always walked in and feel like you're comfortable in your own skin. You have a manner about you that's strong but yet vulnerable. Have you always been that way? Was that something that you had as a kid, or did that come from your parents?
I mean, I guess like anybody, I'm confident in some ways but not in others. You know, I think that's why, you know, I mean, that's what makes people dynamic. And, you know, I know where my vulnerabilities lie, which is probably a strength of mine. And I learn more about that all the time. You know, and I'm curious about my, perceived weaknesses or whatever that, you know, the soft underbelly stuff, and why I react the way I do to things. But I mean, I was, if you're asking if I was an outgoing child, I was quite outgoing. I was very, you know, I loved performance. I liked adults. I liked to, ask questions. I like to try things, and I don't know, that was part of my personality, I guess. I just was how I don't remember not being that way. And of course, my parents, my mom particularly, was very encouraging of that. She, you know, encouraged all of my kind of curiosities. So I went to Lee Strasberg. I I took tap dancing class. I took vocal lessons. I took ballet, and I hated it, so I stopped. But, you know, she never made me do anything. If she was like, if you don't like to do it, look, don't do it, you know? And so I tried a lot of stuff, you know, and I think you know, she made me feel, believe in myself as an actor since I was a kid. You know, she was very supportive of me, and always she could see that I had a passion for it and it was worth pursuing. And so she shepherded me, you know, through young adulthood. And that I owe a lot of that to her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your career, 2 decades and counting, basically, you must have read hundreds of scripts. What was it about Marriage Story and Noah's script that made you want to jump into this part?
Well, when I first met with Noah to talk about this project, I think he'd been developing the idea for some years, and it was starting to become more clear what the actual structure of the script would be. And it seemed like he had reached a point where he kind of needed to cast it in order to actually put pen to paper. And I'd actually didn't receive the whole script until I'd already committed to doing it with him, because at some point it was, you know, we had to sort of commit to each other. And so he could develop it, you know, to a point where he could actually put it into production. And we had met and then had been speaking, and then some months, maybe like a couple of months later, I was in New York, and he said, "I have something to show you." And it was my character's monologue. It's not really a monologue. It felt like a monologue, but her story. It's the scene in which she tells Nora her story. You know, from her own story, from her perspective, and how she got to sitting in you know, opposite her divorce attorney's chair that day, and you know, what led her to that, the path that led her there. It's her story, as she sees it, and that scene was so extraordinary. I would be forever kicking myself if I didn't agree to do it. I'd be so upset if another actor had that scene before me. I'm sure it'll be one of those scenes that people audition to get into Juilliard with, you know. It's such a beautifully written scene, and it has such a all of Noah's writing is so intentional, and it's specific, and it has there's a lot of kind of boundaries that the structure of his dialogue has, and within that, you know, the possibilities are actually sort of limitless, which is a really exciting place to be. That's just good, great writing, you know.
So it's like so structured that the actor is actually free within that?
I think so, because I think sometimes when you're, you know, I guess it depends on also who you're collaborating with, but I found sometimes that when things are really loose, I can sometimes have a hard time. I don't have anything to kind of anchor onto, you know, and I trust my instincts at this point in my career, but I also need, I think I work best when I have structure to sort of, so I have something to kind of hinge onto. You know, that works great with Noah because he's so particular about the dialogue, and you know, everything has to be word perfect, which you know, I guess maybe it's certainly challenging in some ways, but for me it actually is, it works great because I like to work that way too. So,
well, that scene you're talking about was amazing. I think he had said it's 7 pages of constant dialogue that you do. And you're also opposite Laura Dern. And I should say, congratulations also on your Oscar nomination. Your first time as a best actress, and also your first time as a best supporting actress for Jojo Rabbit is pretty incredible. So congratulations.
Thank you.
On that. And also you get to work with Laura Dern, who also got a Best Supporting Oscar nod for Nora. So I, in watching the movie, I feel like Noah wrote some of the greatest scenes like that I've ever seen between two women. And you certainly had two of the most captivating scenes. What was it like to work with her on that day and in rehearsals?
Laura and I really didn't get a chance to rehearse. Adam and I rehearsed a lot, but Laura and I didn't. Laura is such a wonderfully open person. She's so warm and inviting and feels like a safe place, which is exactly what the character needs. And it worked perfectly that way for me, because I felt totally free in front of her, that she's such an incredible listener as a person, and as an actor, she's such an amazing listener. You know, she's right there with you. And her presence was, it also anchored me so much to the gravity of the circumstances for this character, and how, you know, how this was a huge turning point for her. This is, you know, it's like her life before and after Nora's office, you know? And having Laura there to just go through it with me and feel her empathy as an actor was amazing. I mean, it guided me and allowed me to feel like I could be totally comfortable in being vulnerable with her, and that there's like nothing really to be sort of embarrassed about, which is really important, I think, when you're acting, is not to be embarrassed about all the things that you're feeling, because some of them, you know, or some of your feelings are so surprising, and it's good to try to, you know, go as far into those weird, embarrassing-ish feelings as much as you can, because you never know what's going to come up out of them. And sometimes that's really where the truth of stuff lies, is in those uncomfortable places, you know. Mm-hmm.
What struck you about the reaction to this film? Because it's about the ending of a relationship. Everyone can relate to that. I mean, either their own marriage or a relationship or their parents. But what struck you in people's response to this now that it's been out in the world?
Well, one thing that's really surprised me is, and I think, and you know, this is going to sound like a weird plant or something or a plug, but I think this is probably due to Netflix. But there's people that have come up to me that certainly would never have found this film, or probably have never seen a Noah Baumbach movie, or would have never, they just aren't the audience for independent film, you know, and that's making a huge generalization, but, you know, someone's like tough, you know, like blue collared kind of uncle who just is, will say to me like, you know, I'm too nervous to see that Marriage Story. It reminds me so much of, you know, me and my first wife, and I'm afraid it's going to make me cry. I've had so many people come up to me that were unexpected people, that are aware of the film and are touched by the movie. So many strangers have come up to me and shared their deepest intimacy with me, because I think the film it makes it okay to have confusing feelings that surround your, you know, divorce or a relationship that's, you know, didn't have the desired outcome or whatever. You can still have all these complicated feelings, and it's okay. You know, the film is so, doesn't, it has no real, there's no judgment in it at all. And I think that's been really, it's opened up a lot of people.
One of the things I was so moved by in this film is all the little moments. The in between, the juice box, the look when they come home and she asks, I know you're going to give me notes, those little private stolen moments. Can you talk to me a little bit about those?
Yeah, so like I said, you know, everything that's in Marriage Story is all scripted, I think, which is what's so, it's shocking to people. That's Noah's, he's such an incredible master. He scripted all those private moments, those in-between moments. They're all in there. I don't know how he does it. You know, he's incredibly observant, and he's really feeling, deeply, intensely feeling person, and he's very, very sympathetic and compassionate. And I think that's where all those in-between moments come out of. But yeah, they're all scripted in there.
All right, let's talk about the song, because I've known you since you started your career, and I know that you have an insane singing voice. I even think I've seen you perform. But did you know when you were reading in the script that you were going to have to perform the Sondheim song? You know, You Can Drive a Person Crazy. Or were you surprised to see it in there?
I don't remember whether You Can Drive a Person Crazy was in the script. I think it was, but I can't remember if it actually was. It may have just said, like, performs a musical number. And then Noah sent it to me, and I was like, what? It's like, oh, no. Because I had so much other stuff to do we made a lot of productions in and among the film itself. I mean, we made like a weird teen 90s movie all about the girl, or All Over the Girl, whatever it was called. We did a play, the kind of off-Broadway play that Adam and I, our characters do together. And then we also had... and we were shooting a film, a sci-fi TV show. So there was all these other things that we had to do. And then to do the music part, with Merritt and Julia, they were terrified. We were all totally, it was, because then we were told it wasn't just, not only is it such an incredible, it was like, oh, it's Sondheim. So yeah, that easy little ditty. And then it's choreographed. And the three of us were like not having it at all. We were defeated. Merritt was like extremely defeated. Mm-hmm. I was like half defeated. And then, I think Julie was a little more optimistic. But it was a great bonding experience for us, though, because we got to do that all in pre-production. And it actually, in some weird way, worked out like an acting camp type of exercise, trust exercise where that's a Noah special, though. But, of course, he was just like, good luck, and you guys sound great. And then he'll just close the door and,
Yeah, that scene. And it's such a physical movie, too, surprisingly. Like, the scene in the kitchen when you serve him. It's just so, you're moving in and out. You're turning. It feels like it is choreographed, every little bit, every look. It's so fun. And the Julie Haggerty is just genius casting as
your mom. She's so, so brilliant. And she's so... knew that mom, mm-hmm. And she just is so hilarious and also so lovable and impossible at the same time as that character. Mm-hmm. She just nailed it. And the scenes are very carefully choreographed. We spent a lot of time just, getting it was choreography of the scene, right? Where when you kind of, almost like you're staging a play, really felt like that, because one line will sort of lead you to another physical place, and every movement has some intention. And even that scene that Adam and I have in the apartment, where we're, have this big explosive fight, it's such a push and pull between these two characters. They have an intimacy that's familiar, but now it's uncomfortable. And so they, almost have to kind of keep going back to their corners in a way, it felt like that, you know, and then they kind of go back in the ring, mm-hmm. and then they sort of, you know, they come together and apart, you know, a lot of times in that scene. And the dialogue is what guided us to that, you know. Mm-hmm.
That seems incredible. I mean, it's one of the, that scene's going to go down as one of the great scenes in cinema ever. I mean, everyone was talking about that scene after the movie. And to your point about, I was going to ask you, which you kind of answered about the how you surprise yourself in those moments when you're rehearsing and what comes out that you didn't even expect.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think when you work to exhaustion, you know, Noah really works to exhaustion. And so that scene with Adam, you know, we probably did in its entirety, you know, we did it over 2 days and we must have done it, I don't know, like 50 times or more, you know. And so when you work a scene to, you really kind of, it becomes this sort of, you know, it's almost like a dough or something like that. And it starts to kind of pull itself apart. And it gets more and more like kind of stretched out. And it takes all these different sorts of shapes once it kind of warms up. And, you know, that's really you when you're tired or you know, things kind of affect you in a different way. You know, when your defenses are down, maybe then earlier in the day when you were kind of, you know, you'd had too much coffee. You know, and then coming back after sleeping on it and then coming back the next day and kind of digging back in, suddenly you look across and Adam looks like a different person. You know, he's like a person you never saw before. And so it's like the scene is just kind of reinvented. So it's really interesting. And I think doing theater is sort of similar to that. A lot of people have said, oh gosh, you know, how do you do the same thing mm-hmm. weeks on end? And it's so amazing. The gift of being able to do work like that, you know, and really have the time to understand it and try everything out. Because, gosh, you know, when we do film, normally, you have a few takes to nail a close up or whatever, mm-hmm. and that's a magical thing too. You know, that's an exciting thing too, but it's just different.
Mm-hmm. And now you've got Black Widow coming out. You're an executive producer, which has got to be pretty cool and exciting to have control of some respect over that, right?
Yeah, it is. It's exciting and feels like the right way to do it. I think it was kind of, you know, I always feel like it's better to know to, you know, I want to, like, it's so funny. My therapist always says, she's like, things come out in, you know, like in the dark. And that's why I feel like it's good to, you know, as being a producer on something kind of shines the light on everything so you can really see what's going on. I think that's, I'm very much a believer of, you know, communication in filmmaking. There's so many people involved and it's just everything works better when we're all being honest and talking to each other. I think that's how you're the most efficient and you get the best result. And so it's been great producing with Marvel because, you know, we have such, it's like family, you know, we have our differences, but we come together, you know, there's a lot of love there and we all want the same thing. And so it's been really fun. I mean, it's been amazing. I feel very fortunate to be able to be in this position now.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. She's my favorite character. I love her.
I love her too.
Yeah, she's awesome. And you've got Florence Pugh in Black Widow, another
yes.
one who's also nominated for Little Women.
Yes, Florence. She's such a fantastic actor. She's so great. I was so wonderful when we were working together on Black Widow. She's bright and enigmatic and beautiful and radiant. And she is deeply touching. I find her to be just a very deep actor and just a wonderful person. She's generous and funny and mischievous. She's just delightful. And I didn't know what to expect, you know, when I first met her because she was a little bit guarded, and maybe I probably was too, because, you know, we kind of have this intimate relationship in that film. And it, she just, you know, just is absolutely was is such a delight on screen, off screen. She's wonderful. And I feel so happy that, because obviously this, you know, this character is so important to me, Natasha. I've lived with her for a decade of time. And I, you know, I'm so close with all my castmates and all the filmmakers that we've collaborated with. And, you know, I said this to Florence, at, you know, when we wrapped, that she just fits so seamlessly into that world. You know, she's got that kind of confidence that you were talking about earlier. She just has it in spades.
She reminds me of you a little bit.
Oh, yeah? That's great.
I'm old enough to say that.
She feels way more confident than I ever was. I remember thinking that when we were working together. Because she's really young. She's, you know, I don't know, 23 or something, like 24. And I was like, I wish I was that confident when I was 24. She just cuts straight through the bullshit, you know? Like, I was way more self-aware when I was her age. And, you know, it's another time now, obviously, to be that age. But she's just fantastic. And I'm deeply, deeply happy that she's the one, you know?
So after this, that's in May, right? What's next for you? Are you going to maybe write a script or direct a movie, or do you have any interest in pursuing things?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if I would write something or just develop it. I love working with writers. I don't know if I'm a writer myself, but I would love to direct something. I've been looking for something, for the right project, for a long time. But it's a kind of elusive thing, and I know I'll find it when it is the right one. But I would love to do that. That's been a dream of mine for a long time.
Well, it's great to see you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You too.
Thanks so much for joining me. Marriage Story is streaming now on Netflix. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you've been listening. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Krista Smith. Join me next time for more meaningful conversations here at Present Company.